Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we look for the issues that affect our lives and work on solution to these issues according to what our Creator created us for. This is your host, Henry Hasib, and as we get started, we'll start with the word of Al-Fatiha, and we will recite it in English. Our broader audience will be able to understand what we are saying. We say, with God's name, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, do we serve, indeed do we worship, the Lord of the systems of knowledge. Praise be to Allah, most merciful, most compassionate. Thee alone do we serve, and thee alone do we beseech for aid. Show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Amen. We're going to be continuing with the subject that we started a couple of weeks ago, the purpose of humanity. And I'd like to start off this morning by reading just an introduction to the Quran that kind of summarizes the purpose of humanity. And I'm reading from Yusuf Ali, book The Meaning of the Holy Quran. And it starts on page one. It says, "Glory to Allah, Most High, full of grace and mercy. He created all, including man. To man he gave the special place in his creation. He honored man to be his agent and to know that in endure him with understanding, purified his affection, and gave him spiritual strength, insight, so that man should understand nature, understand himself, and know Allah, though his through his wondrous signs, and glorify him in truth, reverence, and unity, for the fulfillment of the great trust, man was further given a will, so that he act, so his acts reflect Allah's universal will and law, and his mind freely choosing should experience the sublime joy of being in harmony with the infinite and with the great dreams of the world around him and with his own spiritual growth. But created though he was in the best of mold, man fell from unity, from his will, and his will was warped. And he chose the crooked path of discord and sorrow and pain, stillness and degradation, ignorance and hatred, despair and unbelief poisoned his life. And he saw shapes of evil in the physical, moral, and spiritual world and in himself." That's a brief summation of this purpose that we're talking about, the human purpose. What is the human purpose? And we mentioned a few weeks ago how we see that man has studied the physical world, he studied the animal world, he studied the plant world, the insect world, the world that's under the sea, under the water, and the fowls that's in the air. Man have studied all these, and he has studied the nature there. But the one thing that seems to be the most ignorant in the world is the study of the human being from the point of view of what God created the human to be. Now, man has studied the human being in the physical, and he has done study in the moral and the spiritual, but it's not widespread. Because you ask the average human being, to just tell you what is their definition of what a human being is. Even if you just break it down and say, what is your definition of man? What is your definition of woman? the definition is so far away from what the Creator created for us and His will, as we just read, that you wonder if that's all that the human being, that the man or the woman is, then you can understand why we in the condition that we're in. And that's why I say we have gotten away from the will that we were created to be, the expression that we should be, the unity that we should be in, and we gave that up and we fell into disunity and discord. I want to also read a little from book 5 of Dr. Mubashir Ukhtar's book, Applying the Teaching of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And, you know, we have to apply this because when we look at humanity, we can look at it on the larger scale, but it's got to be brought down to where we can see the effects of how it affects us individually, neighborly, community-wise, and even from our point of view as Muslims, we have to see how this affects us even in our Islamic community, in our local masjids even. Are we on that path of what God created us to be, or have we failed into the discord, the disunity? Which road have we chosen? Because we read there that Allah gives us one of the things that we know that separate the human being from other creation is that God also gave us a choice or a will, as we read earlier there. So we have this so we can make a choice as to whether we want to follow what the Creator created us to be and desires us to be, or we can choose to follow, to go against that. So I want to read just a little bit from this book, book 5 of Dr. Mubashir Ukhtar's book, Applying the Teaching of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And the title under, as it begins with the autonomy of unity. Strengthen the individual in the community. He says, to each is a direction toward which we turn you. Surah 2:148 says, is a face toward which we turn, which he turns. Then each of you becomes foremost as in a race, in all that is the best in what you are turning toward. Whosoever you are, or wheresoever you are, Allah will bring you together, for Allah has power over all things. Now that's one point that we want to keep in mind, that Allah has power over all things, and it says, wherever you are, Allah will bring you together. When this verse is read, we can see the declaration of the principle of autonomy. To each is a face, is translated as a direction, a goal in most translations. Why? Because the face is typically pointing toward the things it is interested in. And we're going to skip over a few paragraphs here to go to just kind of hit some of the main points here, because we didn't want to read the whole chapter here on this, but it's all good. If you got the book, do go back and visit it. Now, We want to look at toward all that is best for the situation. It said the next idea for each of us is to become the leader or foremost in the best aspect of the direction or goal. Kairun mean good, but not just good in a moral sense. It's not just good, not just a race to all that is good in a moral sense. Kairun means the best of that thing. So when we seek to do the best, to be in the race, we should be trying to be the best. We should try to be the best individual. We should try to be the best community. And, you know, throughout the Quran, we know it talks about these things. For example, if you play a piano, he says, strive to be the foremost at playing that piano with excellence and skills and beauty. Imam Muhammad said, Kai means better in a real physical sense. The benefit of autonomy. The principle of truth of this verse lend itself to powerful ideas of autonomy circulated and promoted in our community. We have come to understand that the Imam instituted autonomy in order to protect us from the kind of exploitation made possible if we were under the authority of a single leader and council of leaders, that this is only one benefit of autonomy. Now, we want to get over, because most of us know about this autonomy, as we said, that the masjid, a local community, each local community is independent, as we refer to it, should have an autonomy of its own. But as we see and can reflect on our present-day situation here, that I believe that we have not completely understood what's being given by Imam Muhammad in this autonomy of the local and independency of the local communities of masjids that we have. And that's the question that's being asked. Does autonomy forbid unity? And I think these are the type of questions that we should have asked even then. But I think it's sort of like, and Dr. Rashid used to quote me in saying that it's sort of like a dog that you have tied up, and you have him tied to a tree on a chain there, and one day you just release him from the chain, and then he run around the fenced-in yard, and he think he's free. He really think he's free because he's got more space now than he had when he had a chain around his neck and he was tied to a tree. He couldn't go that far. But now that he can go a little bit farther, now he think he's free because he's chained, he's closed in, locked in into a fence, and he still can't get out. He just got more room in order to roam. So the question is asked, does autonomy forbid unity? Now, some people think that because the Imam decentralized the community and informed us that the local masjid autonomous entity, that it is somehow wrong or inappropriate for us to meet and work together and make agreements and hold each other accountable to anything at the level beyond the local level. I want to read that one more time because I think it's important. It says, some people think that because Imam Muhammad decentralized the community and informed us that the local masjids are autonomous entities, that is somehow wrong, that it is somehow wrong, inappropriate for us to meet and work together and make agreement and hold each other accountable to anything at the level beyond a local level. The idea of unity is no longer in their vocabulary. It is as if the concept of unity is taboo. So we have to see where we are or have we fallen into those type of traps. We're going to stop right here in our reading so we can have a discussion on some of this, because it's such a broad subject and it applies to every aspect of our lives here, and we do want to hear from you on what your opinion is or what question you may have about this autonomy and that purpose of what Allah created the human being for. We're going to take our first little commercial, not commercial, but station break, and we're going to be right back, and callers will get right to the phone when we get right back. We'll stay tuned and don't go away.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, and we are back here. So we're going to go right to the phone here. We see our first caller with the hand raised. So we're going to go to area code 706-627. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. By the way, it comes. Wa alaikum assalam. And I want to thank Allah for the mercy that he's given us right now to review our development. And that's what this is. Being a part of many of the sectional imam meetings, when this autonomy misinterpretation of what the imam said came up. And we fail to realize, as we do now, we don't look at ourselves and see where we are in our reality. Because a lot of us had a lot of the young imams who were just new on the job. You know, they didn't want the unity. So it's autonomy talk and misinterpretation of what Imam said was right up their alley. Then you have the old Imams. Like right now, we know Allah has been telling us through the Imam Muhammad to, you old Imams, get out the way and help train those who are going to take your place to build this model community. And a lot of them didn't want to turn it loose. A lot of them still don't want to turn it loose, you know. So, again, this misinterpretation of what Imam said when he was encouraging us to understand what al-Islam is and what a Muslim is. A Muslim is one who takes his or her will and on their own accord, without cohesion, et cetera, whatever, you know, put their will in the will of Allah and do what we were instructed to do in this Quran. So a lot of them have been, like you say, have been holding their communities hostage, their own self hostage, because of their not realizing the influence of the shaitan, the gifts and things that they got through ignorance of being under the influence of the shaitan and not rejecting it, has caused us to become disliked for each other. Look at how we have community members now who just meet with each other and call themselves of like-minded people, like-minded Muslims. When we're supposed to be one soul, we keep forgetting that Imam Muhammad came to unite the souls of any believing human being on this earth. And he used to tell us, our job is to make sure every human being that we meet know the truth so that they could take charge of their life and decide on their own free will whether they're going to follow the will of Allah, or they're going to follow their own will to what they want to do, or are they going to be under the influence of Shaitan and don't even know it. So this is a wonderful conversation that you're having this morning, because this autonomy is interfering with everything that needs to be done. Now, just like I talked to the national convener at the show they had in Florida, I said, are you going to make us a legitimate community of Imam Orfi Muhammad? But we had to file paperwork with the United States government like every other community in the United States have to do. That's why they call it United States. Or are we just going to keep on giving lip service, calling each other brother, calling each other sister, calling each other a community, when in truth, if someone on the other side of the planet wanted to do like Allah told Prophet Muhammad to Iqra, to read about us, they can't do it. There's no legal paperwork saying that we willfully point that Imam Muhammad is the leader of the Islamic world in the world at the time of his life cycle, or we haven't agreed like to join mosque care like he was trying to get us to do and give us the basic development, you know, accepted. So, yeah, this is a wonderful door opening that Allah has given us to heal ourselves with, to put aside all of this confusion of this mind of identity problem. Don't you know that we are still suffering from identity crisis ever since we became in the Nation of Islam? Some of us have been around since the 1940s. They still don't know if they're Negro, colored, black, African-American, and they're responding to all these identities, which is keeping us disunified. So as long as we are divided in our intellect, which is going to divide our hearts, and they're not going to the intellect is not going to obey the heart where the Quran is. So we unknowingly are rejecting the Quran that's in the heart of every human being since Allah revealed it to Prophet Muhammad, and he shared it to every heart that came in contact with his heart of what was in you, what you are here to do. So inshallah, this will be a beginning of making 360 what it really is. It's the number one Islamic voice in America, if we understand. So that means we got to come to Shura, which is also in the letters of 360. So as long as we keep letting our anger, our emotion, our immaturity, you know, make us be innovative in our ideas of how we're trying to prove that we all are Muslims, and that we should include people who have rejected the Quran. We want to force them still to be Muslim. We try to force Islam down their throat when we're not letting them, like Imam said one time, Imam Muhammad said, when we get new Shahada, he said, quit trying to force them to take their Shahada. He said, first give them 15 or 20, 30 days or a couple of classes in the masjid that you in charge of, and give them a chance to understand the responsibility and what it is to be a Muslim. What you going to have to do in this reality that you're living in before they take on that responsibility and shaitan take advantage of their confusion and start making them feel shameful because they can't come up to the standards that we set for them, with proper education and proper visual sight to see how the believers in the masjid are living, how they love one another, how they treat their children, how they dress their children, how they teach their children manners. And that's why Allah said, in closing, we all are in the state of Asr, because we haven't yet established the number one mercy Allah gave us to remember that he's God. And that's prayer. People don't know when they're going to make prayer at home or when they're going to make prayer at the masjid. They don't know the benefit of what prayer does as far as making, as far as progress. You had to make money. You had to work together to build masters. You had to work together to build schools. You had to work together to have it. You got to do this. You got to give it feasibly law. You got to spend it in love with all that he gives us. So the purpose of this section of Imam, now it's what we need because it was left to us by Allah. We have a wonderful structure that has survived a hell of a battle with the Shaitan. But we still have the six sectional imams who went back and changed the name back to what it was. It was a sectional masjid and centers under the leadership of Imam Muhammad, when that was given us an opportunity to be free, a little more freedom. Then they went back and put the responsibility to consensus on without a correct sure, and went back and calling it the imam, sectional imam. That was changed for a reason. See, but, so like, if we do this reviewing, we also have to remember you had to review the progress that you made following the law and believing in the law and doing what he has said out of the Quran, doing what Prophet Muhammad illustrated to us. Mm-hmm. Or also you got to pay attention to the failures that you got and what caused. And then you'll see how we still respond to being a nigger, how we still respond to being black. And different, and that is dividing us like the same nomenclature or the same thing that people do to each other of other nationalities using that language. They have the same type of division on there. They have a split personality, kin personality. And you can't come together under that only through Al-Islam. Only Allah can bring us back together, those who believe. Just want to say that.
That's Alhamdulillah.
But it's beautiful that Allah is blessing you to do.
Alhamdulillah. Well, I appreciate those, and that could be the start. You know, I've been to many meetings here where as we get serious about this, because you brought out a couple of points there that need to be. One of them was unity, which is what we're talking about. And does unity mean somebody got to be over me to be with them? You know what I'm saying? All of this got to be brought out. It may not seem to be a big problem, but it is something that is keeping us divided. And we know when we look at those things that we say that keep us divided, we attribute that to the Shaitan, because Allah called us together. But Shura, We have to put these things out, because if we don't, you mentioned Shura, we don't have Shura like we used to have Shura, even from the local to whatever level that we are, even worldwide, we should be having Shura so we can come together in that unity to do the things that Allah asked us to be without. And you know, how many times have we heard Imam Muhammad and a lot of other imams say there's no clergy in Al-Islam? But too many times we try to be clergies in Al-Islam. But we have to bring out those points there. We do have a couple more callers, Muhammad. I do appreciate those comments there. But that's, we got to have a report card to show where we are. Are we making an A, or are we making an E, or F, or a C? Where are we, so we'll know what areas we need to improve on in all of our communities there, and how we can work together to make these improvements. So I do appreciate that. And we got to speak up more and more about it so we can make our community better and better. I sure appreciate those comments. We're going to bring in our next caller at area code 914-434. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you calling from.
Yes, this is Muhammad Sharif. I'm calling out around New York.
Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Alaikum. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah.
So, like, well, yes, the books that you read by Imam Mubashir Ugar, I have all five of the books myself.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, going to our situation, remember someone outside of our community, she said some time ago, He said the problem is speaking to the Muslim Christians and Jews. Problem is old men won't step aside. That's somebody outside of us. And looking inside, they could see that's the problem. Old men won't step aside. When we look at that, that's true. They have somewhat set up a hierarchy, which is forbidden in Adam's song. They've set up a hierarchy. And that is, we have some people that's been in leadership. They start off as ministers. And then they came into Alice Arm under Imam W.D. Muhammad's leadership. They've been here 10, 20, 30, 40, some 50 years. No changes in their communities. That's a sign of a dictator. Mm-hmm. When you stay in a position for all those years,
mm-hmm.
The imam asked us some time ago, said about us, matter of fact, a little text release. The imam said, asking the people to turn in their information concerning their message. That's when the imam mm-hmm. asked her to have ratification. We know how long ago that was. Very few came under ratification. They did maybe once or twice, but that was in the ratification.
Mm-hmm.
Where so in some cases, he had never come to the masjid for the last year or so. But they come at time of the ratification just to vote their confidence for the rest of the imam there. They hadn't been to the masjid in a year. Then they never came back again. We never had the ratifications again. Some of us know it in our community, never had a ratification. Maybe once for that, and that was it. And that's again setting up that we call it a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
How can a person stay in a position? Even the American government doesn't do that. Even in some countries that has called dictatorship, they would do something to bring a person out of their position to stay for years and years, and nothing happens. Like we said, 10, 20, 30, 40 years in that position, and nothing has happened. They didn't follow the NAM leadership. Remember, NAM told us back in 2003, he said they stopped the community. Matter of fact, I think I may have something on that. Yeah, here we go. There's a last year, that is speaking about 2003, at the convention, many of them heard it, or many were up at the convention, and those who were there, they took those that who were not there. The last year, this article from the Muslim Journal, Friday, September 3rd, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And this article came out the next year later, after Imam had. The last year, Muhammad unexpectedly announced his resignation from the ASM, saying he was frustrated that most of the group's estimated 1,000 imams nationwide refused to stop mainstream Islam into their thinking. They refused to mainstream Islam. So that's when it started, when Imam resigned for the ASM in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
For the next 5 years, before he may have passed, and they'll forgive him and send him to paradise. Next 5 years, 2003, since 2005, 8 years, they didn't support the Imam. So that's what we're looking at. Dictatorship, hierarchy, and all that has been set up in the male community. That's why we haven't been able to move, because, like we say, these leaders have been in positions like dictators, leaders, for years.
I believe what we have to do, Muhammad, is we got to look at these situations, like I say, a report card, and we got to see how to bring solutions about. And a lot of these, if it's a problem, even with an individual, you know, no need of trying to deny that that it doesn't exist. Let's see if it exists, at what stage it exists, and how we can correct it and bring solutions to it to go forward. You mentioned a couple of things, and we're going to go to our next caller in a minute. So we do see you out there, caller. We wanted to just acknowledge you. But if it's a problem, even if it's an individual problem, it needs to be addressed. Now, that you hit a lot of areas there about, and you call it move aside, because I believe that there's work for us until, you know, to the day we leave here. But you don't have to hold the community back because you individually want to hold a position. And the other thing I say on that is, when you they used to have this saying that they say you can judge something by a fruit. I forget just how it go, but you can look at that, and if it's not producing, I don't care, you know, how much I love you as an individual, as a person. And you can take that in anything, in a job, we do it in those areas, even in sports. You could be the best quarterback, but when you stop producing, they get another quarterback. And you have your history to go on when you did produce and up to the time you stopped. But we are not preparing, I don't believe, for the future like we should. Where's our leaders? Where's our next generation of leaders? How are they being prepared? Are they being taught? Are they going to have to come and find their own way, like you said, a lot of us had to do in order to get to where we at, and now that we're there, we don't ever want to leave. So those things have to be looked at, and I think we got to write them down, and we may need to put them in a letter and address them to our local people and all the way up to any level that we have insurer on, so we can start to work together to do these things. No one person can put on another person a obligation other than what Allah has obligated us to. And that's what our job is to call each other to the obligation that Allah has called us to. Well, I got a couple more callers lining up, Muhammad, but I do appreciate those comments. And keep teaching. Maybe somebody will eventually hear. So
yeah, before you go to the next,
I do appreciate
you go to the next caller. Could I say one other thing?
Yes. Uh-huh, go right
ahead. And that is, Imam told us back in 2003 also, he said 80% of the Imams did not support his leadership. We have that on record, and all of that. 80% of the Imams did not support his leadership. That could happen nowhere. But that could happen nowhere else on the planet. If you were under a CEO, a president of a board, or something like that, you can stay there. If you weren't supporting the leadership, you have to go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So 80% did not support
him. Matter of fact, I was at the meeting when he said that, and I did do a follow-up question with him the next first Sunday on that, because when he said it, I said, wow, if 80%, am I in that 80% number there? So I did, which is, I'm pretty sure it's on tape. I used to have the tape. There too, on the question that was being asked at that time. And I we did express those sentiments that Imam Muhammad said at that meeting. And he told me that when I asked the question the next month, because I wanted to know, Brother Imam, I heard you say that 80% didn't. Am I in that number? I don't know. Is that the number? And he, you know, Imam had a way of kind of relieving you. So he did relieve me from saying, because, I mean, I say 80%, shucks, you know, that's a large number. But, and he did say the charity and all of that increased the next month, which it did. But he said that was not his purpose of saying that. And that was the main thing that he wanted to get out. He appreciated, he said, the extra monies that came in, you know, for the charities and all. But that wasn't the purpose. And that's what we got to go back. What is we talking about? The human purpose. What is the human purpose? We got to go back and look at these things and see if we are on the road to that God-given purpose of what Allah wants for each human, for every human being, for every community. And we got the book. We just got to follow it. So I do appreciate that. And do call again there, Muhammad, which I know you will. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, well, alaykum as-salam.
All right, we're going to go to our next caller at area code 727-408. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Bilal.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. This is Bilal from Houston, Florida.
As-salamu alaykum, Bilal. Good to hear from
Praise
you.
Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, yes. Glad to hear your voice again, brother. That's all me to praise be to Allah. And we always thank Allah for the work that our brother did on the show. And we pray Allah for giving his sins and giving him a high place in Jannah. There's something I'd like to share that I wrote, brother, alhamdulillah. The global destiny, it's not easy to establish peace. A growth process. The Khalif in us has a need to achieve. An individual having what is necessary to establish peace. Our social needs are slowly being met. God is helping us to pass this serious test. How is this being done? Moving away from non-productive fun, brain power, studying and working for many hours, knowing the real reason for being on this earth, accepting the reality of keeping God first, embrace the need for sincerity, and you will achieve prosperity, contributing to the progress in America, growing and utilizing our intelligentsia. Help each other to grow and prosper. Stop focusing so much and living in our towers. Our leaders must know the history of this world's diversity, establishing a strong relationship with our Creator, becoming your own Savior. Stop denying his favors. Be the best community. Improve the life of the individual. Show the person how to benefit from his potential. A balanced life. This is rational. Let's hold our leaders responsible. Address the person's problem. This will benefit our community and them. You know, we have a lot of successes. AM360 is a good format, a good group to look at in the role that you play and the success that going on in AM360 and the different function that they have and how the success is constantly being evolved. So now you have something to look at, and there are probably other different things throughout the community too, but the work that's being done in different areas. Focusing on that and focusing on helping each other. Don't see each other in bad shape and don't offer a hand, you know. Mm-hmm. So we He studied the life of Prophet Muhammad, how he went about doing things. You find that there's so much keys for success in the life of the Prophet.
Yes.
And don't worry about when you come to Muhammad and say, oh, I couldn't take that. Allah show you that you could take whatever the Prophet took, you can take take that.
Yes, you're right.
I look at that. Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Bilal. When we look at our situations, that and I know I do this myself. To me, when I look at my situation, I think I'm doing so bad, and then I think about what Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, what he went through. Then I have to smile. So I say, you know, I'm complaining about this stuff.
Right. We're here. All right.
That's right.
And so the generation that come in, alive, this is our lives wheeling and playing. And the generation coming up, still there, they're going to be all right, too, and they'll be progressing, too.
Right. But we have to remember about this generation that it is our duty to teach them, to discipline them, and to be their, some say friend, but I say advisor, there at their different stages. We can't just let them just be just free and never teach them anything and expect them to do everything. So we got a responsibility in this next generation that I think we got to improve on. We'll put it that way. Well, we got a couple more calls, Blair. We're going to get in here before we go on. But I appreciate hearing, and so good to hear from you. As-salamu alaykum. All right. We got our next caller at area code 7272-741. Welcome to the program, and state your name, where you calling from.
My name is Martha Nyla Abdullah, and I'm calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. And greetings of peace to everyone this morning. This is what it's all about. Alhamdulillah. This is what it's about, hearing the voices. And that means we are internalizing what needs to be done or what needs to be continued, you know, because we're not just now waking up and just now doing things. Right. We're not just now taking care of ourselves or doing internal, you know, addressing internal opposition to certain things or where where we're lacking. We're not just now doing that. So giving credit to those who have been and those who are just starting and those of us who have transitioned, but they were doing it. So alhamdulillah, on behalf of CWSC and the entire intelligentsia right here on AM360, this is our fundraising time. This is the week for the telethon. And because we could not do it during the time of December 17th, this is it still, the end of the year telethon. And it is not just about the dollars. It is about volunteerism totally around the whole process of our being. So this is why we ask the question, what does being human mean to you? Being human, where is your humanity? So we're going to be entering an ad, inshallah, after we hold shura and address that into the Muslim journal.
Yes.
But it will be with the prospect of getting everyone who wants to be a part of this process. If you want to do it individually, alhamdulillah. Take shura within your own mind, alhamdulillah. But we're connecting with those who want to do it jointly. This is why AM360 has progressed on to the medium connection, seeing beyond AM360, and to all those who are intertwined with producing the process for communication to happen and then go beyond the communication. But keep that open communication process here and welcoming. So thank you, Imam Henry Hasib, and to your wife, Joyce, and to your children and everyone, inshallah, we pray well. And for those who did not know, we did send out an email. We had your email address. If we overlooked it, please let it be known. But we sent out an email for those who have transitioned, of course, Imam Hassan Sharif to his family, and then to Fleming El Amin for his son, and to Imam Abdul Karim Ali and his wife here in Tampa Bay area. You've heard him on AM360, his mother and his wife's sister. So, and to all others and any tragedies that's happening, may Allah continue to bless us. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum. alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. We definitely appreciate that information. We encourage all of our listening audience to make that sacrifice. You know, we got to always sacrifice. Allah asked us to sacrifice not for him, that we increase him or decrease him, but it helps us. And we know, as you said, Sister Martha, we need monies and stuff in order to do some of the things that we like to do to be able to bring these broadcasts so we can have the things that we're talking about, the shura and how we can come together in unity and what we can do, because we have to have a way to be able to get the communication out, because if don't nobody know but you, then you got a problem. So we do need your support. And we're saying this to our listening audience in supporting AM 360 and CWSC. And we appreciate that information, sister.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. We got one last call. I think we can squeeze in here. Area code 706. 627. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Brother Muhammad from Prophet Muhammad. Just wanted to say little things like Bridge TV. Remember the old Bridge TV we had, though there was a controversy about it? But see, those are communication systems that still exist out there. We want to know who got them and everything, because that brother was doing real good in trying to support Imam Muhammad and support his worship to Allah. You know, we need to find out about things that we have in the files, in the archives, that are still functional, like CPC. We need to figure out, do you know how many business peoples and countries Imam Muhammad was in contact with who had promised to give us products and goods, like the brother in Indonesia was supposed to give us cars? And these are things that I witnessed. We supposed to receive cars. We had Citgo was going to give us gasoline stations, you know, and everything, and that's why Shaitan sent his imps to disrupt those countries that was going to support the community here in America, because they know our destiny, you know. So we have to really do the revival and go over the things that we're not doing, like, but start with our own, save our own soul first. Look at those who are in this community. You know, we under the impression we don't even know how we were, but we know in 86 or somewhere, 96, somewhere in that area, we were 2.1 million people who was in the community of Imam Muhammad. Where are they going? We had 1,000 kids since then, a piece. So I know we in the 14
million.
Or something.
We had millions, yes, right.
A piece, So what, we need to put that call to Yazan, like Bilal did, you know, and, you know, by Allah's permission, so that we see those of us who want to respond. Because, give you another example in closing, you know, we are supposed to file, Allah told Prophet Muhammad, Iqra. And that meant you had to put what I'm telling you on paper. That's how far back we go. Put it on paper. If you say you are a supporter or follower of a certain imam or a certain community or a certain school of thought, what it is, put it on paper so we can review it in shura and purify it, you know, through prayer to do what is correct according to the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu by Allah's permission. We have a lot of work to do, but it ain't no bunch of work to do. It's real quick and easy.
Exactly. We got it, and we got to get started. That's it. Even if we took an inch step at a time, at least we would have inches behind us, you know. So we got to do it. I agree with you 100%. And that's the reason we're bringing these topics up like this, to give us something to think about and hopefully be able to start us. But look like, Muhammad,
one more
time to go by.
Okay. We need to get Imam Warfi Muhammad II to talk to Imam Bashir Ali in the Southern Section Imam. We need to bring these things together, because these are the du'as of Imam Muhammad before Allah called him back.
And well, inshallah, we're going to be continuing this subject next week, some parts of it there. So, be sure to bring that out, and maybe we can come up with a plan, inshallah. Well, we are out of time, so we're going to see you next week at the same time, same place, right here on for AM 360 for another edition of Critical Issues and Solutions here. We'll see you then. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Adam B.I. here on Money Sense on AM 360 on this Thursday morning. Thursday morning on January the 11th, 2024. And welcome all of you to our program today. And we're going to open up just reading this ayah from the Quran, from Surah to Nisa. The fourth surah, 135th ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu qawamina bil qisti shuhada lillahi walau ala anfusikum walau ala anfusikum awil walidaini wal akum Akarabin Iyakun Ganion Al Fakiran Falahu Aula Bihima Falata Tabi Hawa An Takdilu وَإِن تَوُوا أَوْ تَقْرِدُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ كَبِيرًا صَدَقَ اللَّهُ عَظِيمًا. In the translation is given by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. All you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even as against yourselves, or your parents, or your kin, or whether it be against rich or poor. For Allah can best protect both. Follow not the lust of your hearts, lest you swerve, and if you distort justice, or decline to do justice, verily Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. Sadaqa Allah Adhim, Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. Alhamdulillah, Allah belied to me. Well, again, I want to welcome all of you to our program today. And just a recap from our program last week. We talked about coming up with plans and ideas that we can support our institutions, such as the Muslim Journal or such as Mosque Cares or the other institutions that we have, our schools, coming up with those kind of plans. And if we don't support them, who else is going to support them? Not saying that it might not be other interests or concerns to support them, but if that happens, then they probably will stop being our institutions and become their institutions. I mean, that's where we're at. So I got a couple of calls during the week since that broadcast last weekend, both of them, they appreciated the discussion For those of you that might not have tuned in last week, see what happens when you miss the episode. But I'll bring you up to date. We were talking about how in the format that we've developed in our community, the format of coming together once or twice a year, or how many times you participate, and coming to the large cities, transportation there, hotels, food, and other incidentals. And I was giving an example, my own personal example. Me and my wife go, we'll probably end up spending conservatively about $2,500. Yet, of that $2,500 we spent or spending, maybe 300 of that 2,500 went to the institutions that had the event. So that's 2,200 in this example that went somewhere else. Airlines, rental car, hotel, food, parking, whatever. That went something else. That went somewhere else. And then it would make more sense if we came up with ways and means to have the institutions receive more of that. Well, I went to an extreme position where I said, well, I'll just stay at home and send a contribution to the organization. And I'm not recommending everybody do that. But there has to be a way that we can raise that money. So anyway, we're having that kind of discussion. And maybe in the coming months, we'll continue that kind of discussion, because we tend not to support our institutions. I was listening to Brother Henry's program in the previous hour when my good friend Muhammad mentioned the idea that 80% of the imams, Imam Muhammad said 80% of the imams don't support his leadership. And Henry said he asked the imam and was he in that number? And I guess if I was at that event, I would ask the imam the same question. Because it wouldn't have been my intention not to support his leadership. And I agree with Henry that statement had implications beyond what people think it means, but it was put out there, and it was said that in the next few months, people began sending more money to the imam's ministry. Even though, like Henry, I don't believe the imam put it out there because he was worried about the donations, or he wanted more money, and that was supposed to solve that problem. I don't think that's what the imam meant, based on my study of what the imam was saying. I think it's probably, and it's just me speaking, I think it's probably maybe the imams didn't know how to support his leadership the way the imam wanted it. Maybe they didn't know. Some of them might have just been not aware of it. I don't take it that 80% of the imams are actually working against Imam Muhammad. I don't take it that way. But, again, this is me talking. And those of you that differ, you're more than welcome to press 1 and maybe showed me the error of my thinking. But I think it's an idea of consciousness of what the Imam wanted. I remember in one of his lectures, and it's lost on me where, you know how it is, you listen to things, and I don't digitize it in my mind, so I don't remember where he was or what he was speaking about. But I remember him, and I tend to think he was talking about a time when he was in either Kansas or somewhere out the Midwest. And he was reading from the local newspaper, the newspaper reporter that was reporting on the event. And the man came out to speak at a banquet that supported education. And he was reading the news article. And he was saying that the reporter reported accurately what the Imam's concerns was. And he read excerpts of the article. And he said it was the man heard it. He understood. And he reported it. Said that our community wouldn't support those things, didn't report on that way, and how he missed the main concern that the Imam or our reporters missed the main concern that the Imam was bringing up. So it tells me that in our community, people weren't hearing what the Imam was saying. Or maybe they thought they were, but they didn't report it on that they heard it accurately. And here's this non-Muslim journalist, as he reported it, showed that he heard what the Imam was saying. And he reported it accurately. So maybe in the Imam's estimation that our Imams were not giving the information to the followers that touched on the concerns that the Imam was really trying to touch on. Maybe they wasn't hearing it. Maybe they weren't attuned to it. And in that regard, they're not supporting the Imam. Now, if that was a problem back in had to be in the early 90s, I think, or whatever. If that was the problem back then, can you imagine what the problem is today in 2024? All right. Almost 16 years or 15 years and 9 months after the Imam has passed. The Imam passed over 15, soon to be 16 years ago. And if they were not understanding the concerns of the Imam then, would it be far-fetched to assume that they're not now? Would it be far-fetched to assume that? Would it be far-fetched to assume that the Imam's language is not out there now the way it should be? Would that be far-fetched to assume that? Soon to be 16 years later? So 80% of the Imams don't support it. Do I still think it's a problem? Yes. Yes. All right, I see the board is lighting up. And I really wanted to talk about something else, but I did start on this, so I think we got some people interested. So let's I tell you what, I wanted to play a PSA on the telethon. Now, I heard one yesterday that was done. I was going to play that. But that must not have been a current one, because I know that right now CWSC is trying to raise $15,000. The one I heard yesterday said $10,000. Oh, so they need to upgrade that. So I tell you what, here's somebody, I think this is somebody that can shed more light on it. Let's go to area code 727-408.
As-salamu alaykum. No, we need to leave some of that stuff alone, bro. You know, you digging up stuff that won't take us nowhere. You know, we need to leave that stuff alone, really. Praise be to Allah. And Brother Adam, look, the choice that you made concerning the school and what you have done, that's prioritizing. And I think we need to learn how to prioritize a little more as a community, and our life will reward us, and we have interests all over the place, though. So I see why people want their money here and there, but what you came up with, I'm totally with that. So praise be to Allah. But remember that Imam Muhammad's perception was quite different than our perception. In fact, he mentioned the fact that he don't see all that bad stuff in situations like we do. He see the good in Allah creation, and that's for us. That's for the believer. Look for that good, enhance that good, and life will be much sweeter for you, and most comfortable for you, and you can help be more progressive for the community. So praise be to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much, Brother Brown. Wa alaikum assalam. All right, I see. We'll go to this next caller. We can talk about more about the telethon, because, you know, we need some money. This effort needs some money. And I don't want to be begging for money, but, you know, the old proverbial saying, just for this time and now, it's time to put your money where your mouth is. Let's go to line 727-741. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Yes, this is Martha Nyla.
Oh, yeah, this
Abdullah.
Is. Yes, ma'am.
It gives me great pleasure to be here, Imam Adam B. Just saying your name takes me back to the original process of this beginning of CWSC and AM360 and Thomas and Abdissalam, Rahim Allah, and Mukhtar Muhammad. May Allah bless you and Mukhtar continuing on and with the effort and the words that Thomas have left us. So praise be to Allah and then to his dear wife, Dr. Aisha Kareem. That's just a quick backdrop, everyone, to asking for your donations, your monetary donations. But we want you to also not think that because you don't have your monetary donations that you aren't needed. You are needed. And so please consider becoming more of a participant with CWSC. And as I go into the information that you're going to need in order to share with your donation, your funds, we thank the supporters who have been contributing and are continuing to contribute in a way of the recurring amount, which we generally say is the most given one, often given one, is $9.99 a month. Ones are continuing that effort. Some have increased it. Whatever way you desire, please, by all means, we are appreciative of it. There are many ways that your dollars are being used, and prayerfully, we have been very astute with that process. We did a comparative process the last 2 years, and I believe we shared that information entirely, but inshallah, if you have any questions, by all means, our annual reports will be going on the website in just a few months. But by the time that you go to cwsc.us, clicking on the blue donate button and indicating how much you want to share, you can also, for those who want to send it in by the mail, you can send it to CWSC, Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. That is the address. And, of course, you make your money order or check out to CWSC. And in your note pad, you can indicate whether you want to support a particular intelligentsia component, such as AM360 or Learning Lab or the internship or leadership development, whichever of the leadership that you scholarships even that you want to support as you send your dollars into the general treasury of CWSC, by all means, we take that into account. You do know that we will be fast approaching the scholarship time, which is February 20th through June 20th. We want your support for that as well. By all means, do check in. Dial us at 910-317-0297 for any questions or comments or assistance that you may need. Thank you so kindly, Imam Adam Diya. I'll make that short there. Thank you. And it is 15,000. Inflation has occurred, and 10,000 from the time we started in 2016, everyone. We're now 8 years into it. We just started increasing to 15,000 by one of the supporters making that suggestion, and we took heed. So thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Martha, no need explaining why I went up to 15,000. No need. They know their rent went up, their lights went up, food went up, everything going up. So no need to explain it. I can see if it went up to $100,000, they might wince a little bit.
As
a matter of fact, it's so easy. While you were explaining it, I went on and made a donation. That's how easy it was.
That's how easy it is, alhamdulillah.
I did it. So that removes all excuses.
And I'm going to make a public donation again of $50. I have a certain pool of dollars that I put aside for that purpose, for education, for mosque cares, for study al-Islam, for Islamic Learning Institute. By your talk that you gave to us, Imam Adam, you don't know how important that was back in 2017, 18, and those years. I took heed, make a certain pot for what you're going to distribute, how you're going to distribute your funds. So please
yes,
make
ma'am.
CWSC one of those distribution areas. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Sister Mark. Okay, we're going to go to the back to the phone lines and area code 914-434. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Imam Adam, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, sir.
Right. Okay. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How about you, my brother? Hope it's fine.
I'm doing great.
In this new year.
We are doing great, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now, we want to go back. Well, this here, trying to see where should I start first. Well, the first thing I should start is W.D. Muhammad speaks on W.D. Muhammad. Now, we had a big business meeting in Baltimore. And so anyway, coming back from the meeting, we had about three different cars. So anyway, we all stopped at this big location that everybody, buses, everything stops coming back from down 95. So anyway, we got to sleeping now. I keep one brother I'll tell you with us. I said, do you know that the Imam had made a lecture called W.D. Muhammad Speaks on W.D. Muhammad? And this brother, he's well known in his community, well versed. He knew quite a bit. So anyway, he said, I have it. I said, really? He said, as soon as I get back to the house, I'll send you a copy of it. And which copy was that? They said, W.D. Muhammad Speaks on W.D. Muhammad. Now, quoting the man here, he said, whenever we have problems come up, I tell the officials to bring the facts and put them all on the table. The facts are not in themselves answers. They are part of the problem. But when we put them together, we will see our problems. He says, I sit and listen to these facts. And I'm just saying part of that, so we can get more copies of this. Something that man was only 6 months into his leadership when he said this, because he knew we were going to be coming to these problems later on. 6 months into his leadership, that's what he told us, by bringing all the facts and put the facts on the table. So this is why we're letting people know. That's why we're putting facts on the table. A lot of things have been coming out in the last few months talking about facts that we didn't know. A lot of stuff wasn't put on the table. Same things going on today. We are not putting the facts on the table. That's why we can't come with solutions to the problem. Now, the first Ramadan session with the Imam gave. Remember that first Ramadan session? Only the Imams were invited to come to the first Ramadan session. I think word got back to the Imam right away that the people weren't bringing back what were you telling them, Brother Imam? They weren't giving us 10% of what you were telling them, nothing. So the Imam, what he did, he opened up the Ramadan session for everybody. He stopped that right away. He opened up the Ramadan session now for everyone. So these things that we are saying, people don't really know the facts. And they're talking to us, stop bringing up this. No, we're not going to stop bringing it up. It's the only way you're going to find a problem. What the problems are is by bringing things up, and we are not going to stop. Just a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago.
Mom, that was somebody's opinion.
Yeah, and we're not going to accept that opinion. But Alan, we're not going to accept that opinion. Nobody comes that telling us to drop things when we don't have the facts.
I know, but don't dismiss the brother's opinion. That's his opinion. That might be what he needs.
Let me say something else.
He has a right to that opinion.
Alan, would you let me finish what I'm saying? And now focus about opinion.
But I'm going to defend him. No. Listen,
what I'm saying.
He got a right to his opinion.
Hold up. Alan, please hold up. Imam told us he corrected that on opinions. Can have an opinion. Anybody can have an opinion. Imam, he said we have to have an informed opinion. And that's what we are doing. We are telling people to have a formed opinion, not just an opinion. Anybody, any rat, cat, snack, whatever can come with opinion. No, we want an informed opinion.
But Muhammad, even with that,
thank you.
You think you could have? You could even with that. You think you could have misunderstood his intent? Do you think that?
Yeah, because he didn't have an informed opinion.
I'm talking about what the Imam was saying. You think you could have misinterpreted that? Or you could be misapplying what the brother said about what his position on taking it, that wasn't appropriate. He's saying for him, in order for him to operate, in order for him to continue on, he wants to put the best construction on it. That's it. So you said what you said, and you had the right to do that. And he said for his best construction, that's good for him.
Well, we're trying to help him. Right.
You can't tell her brother that it's not good for him. If he said that's not good for him.
That's not
well,
what
that's
I'm saying. We have a community here. We have a community. We're not talking about one person.
Everybody in the community hears something different. Because we have a community doesn't mean we all think in lockstep and thinking the same. Because if you see different results. Huh?
This is why those who have an informed opinion, they should be the one that's speaking. That's why they stick a microphone in anybody's ear. They'll come around, put a microphone in anybody. People don't know nothing about nothing, and they give them a microphone because they know they want to talk. And that's how this information society works. They'll put the microphone in anybody's mouth and let them speak. But they will not come to those who have an informed opinion. Those who know what happened, will not come to those.
Mama, what do they say in this? What does the CWSC say? Everyone, his voice is protected. So we're going to protect that brother's voice because I understood what he was saying. And for him, I have no problem with that. There might be people that think like that. I'm not going to tell them they're wrong. You don't have an informed decision, but you need to shut up. I'm not going to say that.
At least tell them to shut up.
What did you just say, Mom? You need to go back.
I'm going to have an informed opinion.
You like that commercial on TV where you had the mama say something to the neighbor and the little daughter said, you didn't say that to us. And I said, I did tell you that. Then they go back to the instant replay.
Right, instant replay.
And then so mama looked at the instant replay and to find out she did say that and she was embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. Instant replay.
You, Muhammad. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and replay what you just said. You tell the brother he needs to shut up. Don't put the microphone in there. We're not going to do that, brother, because he needs that. I mean, that's good for him. I had no problem. So
could I say
I don't have time to do it right now. But.
Can I say one other thing about finances?
Yes, sir.
We just had a big affair, about a month or so ago, the 65th anniversary of the Atlanta Mass Dead. Why has this been so quietly kept? It's coming out now in the latest Merchant Journal that I just got. It's just quietly being kept. $55 million raised. In no time, $5 million. That'll let us know the rest of we got to step up, and we got to come somewhere in that area of raising some money. And not talking about we got people with money in this community. We got people with money that they're holding back. But now others may come out now. Now this group has come out and raised $5 million. Maybe the rest of us have come out now and do something for our schools. Number one priority, getting very little support.
Yes, sir.
Very little support.
You're right. Now
we got to come up and do more for our schools. But look at this. If we are not teaching our children, who else is teaching them? If I have a grandchild or a child or whatever, who is teaching my baby? That means that child is going to come up will not be Muslim. That's a guarantee. Will not be a Muslim if someone else is teaching them.
Well, I got another call back here. I appreciate you chiming in, brother. I appreciate you chiming in. Thank you very much for that. Okay.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you. All right.
All right.
As-salamu
alaykum.
Walaikum as-salam.
All right, let's go to the next caller, area code 314-833. Brother, thank you for waiting patiently. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Imam Adam B.I., and to your very astute radio listener audience there, AM 360 Radio. I want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And you know, this is a good topic, and you know, you probably have said it, and others have said it. You know, sometimes you plan to do something, but Allah has already planned for something else to take place. I heard, I was listening very attentively to what you said at the very beginning, and look how the conversation has flowed to this. So I want to make some comments on this, and I remember what you were saying about the imam and making the statement remember very vividly. I think we have to go back to the language, you know. Hearing the imam and listening to the imam is two different things. Hearing the imam, listening to the imam is two different things. I'm going to give some Quranic support for that. And I don't claim to be an Arabic teacher or anything of that nature. But I know that we remember, because this is community-wide Shura conference, and in Surah 42, Ayat 38 of the Quran, just in the translation, and the first thing, in terms of those who hearken unto their Lord, establish regular prayer, conduct their affairs through mutual consultation, and then spend out of that which we have provided for them. This is unique in the Quran, because usually when you establish regular prayer, then it's followed by spending out of that. But if you notice in Surah 42:38, it says that to conduct your affairs through mutual consultation. But what's interesting there, those who hearken. Hearken means to listen. The Arabic is istajabu, istajabu. Istajabu in Arabic, and given really deep, deep understanding in the communication of Allah to his human creation, it means to listen. It means to listen, not hear, but to listen. But it means more than that. It means to listen and respond. And then it means more than that. It means to listen and respond swiftly. Swiftly. Now, I'm saying that because if there's nothing wrong with your auditory factory in terms of being able to hear, you can hear the imam who was the leader, or you can hear anybody, but were you listening? So I'm going to follow what Imam Muhammad has said. He said, in definition, is direction. And since that time, I've added correction to it. Now, what is listening? Listening is the art of perceiving everything that is being communicated. It's an art. Some of us can't listen. And we're not perceiving everything that's being communicated. We might hear what the imam said. And this is what Imam Muhammad didn't want in his community. And I think, Adam, you know that, and many that's been in his community for a long time. He didn't want parrots. He didn't like that. He didn't like parrots. He said, because you do more harm to my leadership, because you just repeat what what you heard me say, but you didn't really understand. You only going to get that with listening. You know, and so listening is an art of perceiving everything that's being communicated. My major is communication. The question becomes, in what the imam was saying, 80% don't support. How are you going to look at that when many were not listening? They may have heard what the imam, some of that percentage, may, I don't know what percentage, may have heard. But if you take the Quranic Arabia, those who hearken unto their Lord, istajabu, but it means to listen and to respond swiftly. In other words, it's you know, you were in the first experience, and we were being drilled and everything, you hear and you obey. But you hear and you obey your Lord. You understand? Well, Imam Muhammad was the leader, and I think Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, in one of his latest publications, followed the leader. The question becomes, how many that saw Imam Muhammad as the leader? That could be another percentage. Don't ask me because I don't know in that regard. But if we understand at least istijabu, listen and respond swiftly, then this is saying that those who listen, really truly listen to the imam and was perceiving all what he was giving, and they respond swiftly to that. I have a pamphlet where Imam Muhammad on one Salatul Jummah, he was advocating to the community in terms of the sacred institution of marriage in actually encouraging but also supporting marriage at an early age, like teenager, adolescent, and even supporting that because that's a sacred institution, even though those two, you understand, wasn't able at that point by allowing them to live in their homes. Now, this is not something really new, because if you're from the South, my mother was married at 16, you see, but there was family support for that. And he tried to get his imams to support that. That didn't happen. You see, so I'm just giving that as an example, you know, that there is a difference between listening and hearing. And a lot of us hear, but we're not listening. So I just want to bring that to the, I just want to bring that to the table in that regard. And as you also made a very, I think, astute comment, if that wasn't happening, the imam had 16 years, but in 2024, in terms of his transitioning, and while he was physically present, yeah, that was, I don't know what the percentage, how many was or was not, but then, like you say, can you imagine that now? You know that he no longer has a physical presence. How many actually are listening, reading what he has left, listening, having these type of conversations and everything, and do we still recognize what Allah has blessed him with and in blessing him has blessed this community because he's from us, from this ethnic group. And this is not by accident. This is by Allah's decree. And I think we need to really think about that, and all of us, myself, everybody. This is 2024. Our theme should be we should strive to do more. And I think it is that we have to follow the leader. And Imam Muhammad said Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is his leader. And we have to acknowledge that he was the best among us in terms of actually doing that. I could say a lot more, but I just want to add my little 2-cent worth to this, Imam Bayah. Don't let us not become parrots. Just say what the imam said, because we heard him say that. But were you listening? Were you perceiving all that was being communicated? And I agree with you. It wasn't just that. Because the money will come. The money always will come. But that was more than just money. Imam Muhammad was not interested so much in terms of that. This was a new community, a baby nation, as Honorable Elijah Muhammad referred to us, and we had to grow up. So, therefore, listening is very, very
Mark,
important.
Mark, I'm going to say one thing.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, listening and parroting and saying what the man said and parroting what he said, right? But I prefer on some people parrots. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to parrot somebody. They parrot the imam than someone else. And I'm saying that because, see, people try to give, you know, they should getting to the point that they understand the imam's concern and his interest and things like that. But, see, today you got people that they think they're the wise one.
Yeah, true that.
They say things. So they're the ones. Why? Because they don't want everybody to know that, hey, they've been studying the Imam Muhammad. So they'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to them, hey, at least I have a body of knowledge I can refer to get more closer to what the man's concerns is. Where's your body of knowledge at?
Mm-hmm.
Your writings. Your things that I go to find out from you.
Yes.
I agree with
listening to the Imam and with Imam Muhammad when he was saying that some of you, and this is him, and I'm paraphrasing, he said some of you hurt me more by doing that. See, because in communication, in communication, let's say, for instance, I come to you and I quote something, Imam, and we have a communication, a conversation here. It would be befitting and right for you to ask me if you didn't hear that. So what does that mean? Okay? So if you're going to carry the language that you heard, wouldn't it be intelligent for you to be able to explain that? That's what Imam was saying, that sometimes you all hurt me by just parroting. Because in the conversation, if you bring it up, and some, not all, generality is never the reality, Adam, as you know, but that's a heavy weight. But if we get it, and we take it to other people, it's important that not only we ingest it, take it in, but we have to digest it. Digest it means to understand it and to explain it. Because then that means that people can have their own interpretation. That's why we say the tafsir. The tafsir, Imam Muhammad, is clear explanation. Now, tafsir for some is commentary, but is it possible that you could have a question about something and those persons, like what you're talking about, they give their commentary, and when you leave them, you're more confused than you were before you asked the question.
That's my point.
Yeah. We have to be able to differentiate.
They're giving commentary.
Yeah, they're giving commentary. And commentary don't necessarily have to be the right commentary. You see, that's what I'm saying. So if, in fact, we need to be first and foremost, I'm going to say this, and I'll stop. First and foremost, in 2024, to do more is that we first need to become students of the Quran. Secondly, we need to become students of the life example of the Prophet in living the Quran. And then thirdly, we need to become students of Imam W.D. Muhammad, who was a scholar and very learned in this deen, this religion. We're not shortchanged. If we really, really understand that and begin to listen to the Imam, to become students of the Quran, student of the life example of the Prophet, and students of Imam Muhammad, we can go anywhere in this world and stand.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
The Quran is in Arabic.
Yes.
Most of us think in English. Is that right?
Yes. That is
we
true
think in
for
English.
This community. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we think in English, and All right. Now, so you read in the Arabic, and you're trying to come up with a translation of the Arabic. So you're converting it to English.
Mm-hmm.
Possible there could be a mistranslation.
What was that last thing you said?
Is it possible there could be a mistranslation?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely.
All right.
And
all right.
Yeah.
So one thing with Imam Muhammad, I trust him.
And I did too.
And I
still do.
I can, and still do. Yeah, that's what I trust. I say trusted. I said trust.
Right. Yeah,
and
you
also,
still do. Meaning presently, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mhm.
So now, the person that's translating their studies of the Quran, I don't know them that well.
Mhm.
But I have a lot of body of knowledge that in which the Imam has given us to give me an idea. And that's all. That's all, brother. And so when you say learn the Quran.
No, wait a minute, Adam. I need to stop you right there. I didn't say learn the Quran. I said become a student of the Quran. That's what Imam Muhammad was, and he told us that. He was a student of the Quran. So we'll always ever be a student until we leave here.
Okay.
Student is one who studies.
My mistake on that, brother.
Yes, sir. I didn't say learn. I said a student.
That.
Yes, sir.
Right. Well, that wasn't necessarily for you. That was for those out there that try to convince you they learned the Quran.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. Yeah, I understand. But become a student. In other words, only thing Mark Shahid is saying to all of us and to myself, I wouldn't say something to somebody else that I was not trying to be a practitioner. And those of you who know, I'm legally blind. I'm not able to read. But it's more than one way to study, and you're absolutely right. We have to trust our leader, Imam Warsdeen Muhammad. We have to trust him that what he was telling us.
Yes.
He did what most of us can't do. He devoted his life to doing that. He even told us how he would stay up all night sometimes. How many of us going to stay up all night studying?
Well,
his life was devoted to
well,
that.
Mark, I got two callers. I got to get them in. But
I know you do.
I
thank you so much for taking my call. I'm just hoping that what I said would be helpful to all of us. We should try to do more in the year 2024. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And Mark can see as well as maybe better than some of us. And so anyway. Let's go to the phone lines, 972-467, 972-467. Brother, I'm sorry I got you holding so long.
All right, sorry, Ishmael family.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah, conversation very important. Just quickly, since we don't have a lot of time, and I was going to be quick anyway, we talked about opinions and different perspectives, and when you're talking about gems and diamonds, you talk about facets, and those are different facets. Those facets is what makes the gem beautiful, you know. So we should appreciate each other's facets or perspectives. One thing that we do, and matter of fact, Marcus, we're in a class where we study the lectures of the Imam, and you should hear the different perspectives and facets that we have. But we have a teacher, a moderator that's been a student of the Imam that helps facilitate those facets, helps polish those facets. And I think that's something that we need. So a lot of us may listen to the Imam and think we understand what we're saying, but until you hear the different perspectives, you really can't come to a full understanding, in my opinion. And I think that's what's needed, is that we really need to come together. Like they have shows here where they talk about the lectures of the Imam. So, like I say, when they talk about that 80% non-understanding, like, they could be different understandings of that. They may want to support them, but they may not know, have the knowledge to do it. And I just want to add that. Thank you.
Right.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Thank you very much, brother. Licking us now. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. We do have a caller here. 727-408.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum as-salam. So praise be to Allah. And alhamdulillah, today is Thursday, and I'm fasting. And I wouldn't get into nothing concerning what my brother said. And it's not, even if I wasn't fasting, I have learned that the better part of the fasting, you should keep that in our daily life. So praise be to Allah. But also I would like for anybody who want to hear the Ramadan session that Imam Muhammad has, they can come on Sundays from 5 to 7 and listen to the Ramadan section that were written by Imam Rana B. Shaheed, taking from me what Imam Muhammad gave him for that record for this community. And I also would really love that if we, those who know about Imam Rana B. Shaheed and the direction Imam left for us, you should get those books, and you'll find out things are different. A lot of things are different. And, you know, so praise be to Allah for alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam. Thank you very much, brother. All right. We're almost at the top of the hour. And we do have coming up next, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. He'll be coming on the next program. He's got a special guest, Brother Jimmy Smalls. Jimmy's a New Jersey political advisor, and me with Brother Jimmy should be a good hour. So tune in and get ready for the next program. And I'm going to thank everybody for tuning in and helping this program continue on. And again, don't forget, we're in the middle of a year end or beginning of the year effort to make contributions to CWSC. Look here, without belittling it, like anything, it takes money to, in this environment, it takes money to operate. It takes money. It takes money to be independent, as independent as possible. And we have to learn how to support our institutions and spread the word. You might not be able to get much, and that's understandable. But you know somebody that you can invite them to listen in to CWSC at any time, any day, any program. And the same way that you have found an interest to tuning in, they might do the same. They might do the same. And this is, as I hear them say, this is listener-supported. Listener-supported radio. So give a donation. Make your tax deductible. And I need to quit saying that because they changed how taxes operate. But it's still tax deductible if you have enough other donations to meet the threshold to deduct it on your tax return. But that one, because of the change in tax law, that one has gone by the wayside for most people. But anyway, it is a blessing to be able to support this. And we're having these discussions about CWSC and things that Imam Muhammad said. Where can you go and have real live discussion on the tafsir of Imam Muhammad and how it's impacting our society today? So we need to do that. So we ask you to go to TWSC.us, make a donation, you click on the blue button that says donate now, and you can donate whatever you can afford. Or you can be a recurring donor by donating $9.99 per month, and they've broken it down to 33 cents per day and support this effort, inshallah. And there's a phone number you can call in and make a donation by phone. It's area code 910-317-0297. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're going to get out of the way and get ready for Imam Yusuf Ramadan with a special guest, Brother Jimmy Small. Jimmy's a political advisor from New Jersey. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWST is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah bil alameen. That is, with God's name, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So we ran into a little problem today with the board, with my laptop actually, again, and I thought I had a fix for it, which they didn't come through for me in time. But we have a guest, Brother Jimmy Small, a political advisor from New Jersey, and I was just being told that I can run the board from my phone, which I didn't know. Brother William Kareem just told me I could run the board from my phone, and that's something I didn't know. I was having problems with my laptop, and Imam Kareem said he was listening also. He was had a problem with his also. So I'm not able to bring our guest on, Brother Jimmy Small, who has a 973 number. If there's, I'm trying to reach out to Sister Martha as well to bring him in to the queue. And once he's brought in, he can press one on his phone and he can talk. They'll show me how to do it from my phone as well. Hopefully I'll have the technical situation taken care of with my phone. I was waiting for someone to bring me what I needed for the fix, and they never showed up. And I wasn't able to go out and get it. So we're doing the best we can. We really wanted to have a better experience with him, as he's a political veteran. And I'm texting him right now a little bit of his bio so I can read it.
I'm here.
Good. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum as-salam.
Great. So why don't you just, this is Brother Jimmy Smalls, and I hadn't seen him for a while, unfortunately. When we did see each other, it was at the janazah for Imam Hassan Sharif, who was assassinated in Newark in front of the masjid, a horrible situation in New Jersey, really for the country. And Brother Jimmy, why don't you fill us in a little bit about your bio?
Okay, I've been involved in politics in some shape, form, or fashion for the last, 44 years, because it's now 2024. I started out in being a part of a political club in the ward that I live in. Then I guess because of my talent, I've moved up to be president of that club. And then I moved on to be a school board member in East Orange, New Jersey, where I'm at. It's an appointed position. And I became the president of the school board, and I was the first Muslim to do so. And I was also able to get Muslim holidays on the school calendar in 1992. Trenton, New Jersey was actually the first community to have Muslim holidays in the country. After spending 7 years on the school board, I was asked to run for city council, and I ran, and I was as I like to say, the last council chairperson of the 20th century. I was the chairperson in 1999. In the meantime, I became a member of the Muslim League of Voters. I am now president of the Muslim League of Voters, and I have been for about the last 12 years. I work with other groups in the community, something called New Jersey Muslim Voters for Progress. I also I'm a member of the Muslim American Veterans Association. We're one of the most active branches in the country, the one that's out of Newark. And that's really it, because I can't even remember all the stuff I've done. I'm I have one more piece. New Jersey is celebrating New Jersey Muslim Heritage Month. And what I've been able to do with that is to get some resolutions and city councils locally to pass it. And we're going to have a what we call a North Jersey on the 21st at Parsippany Hills High School. I'm going to be presenting a whole array of African-American Muslims that have had accomplishments over the years, such as Ichabod Muhammad in fencing, Muhammad Ali. We have had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kyrie Irving, those are all Muslims, Akbar Salam, top businessmen with Unity B. Falal, and the list goes on and on. So I'll be working on that. That's my current project.
Alhamdulillah. Very good, very good. I knew you had an extensive bio. But so I guess what I want to talk to you about is, so let me ask you, if you don't mind sharing this, what's your political affiliation?
I'm a Democrat.
All right. Now, convince me why I should vote for Joe Biden.
Why not? Because I looked it up. There's 234 people running. I ain't voting for Biden. I ain't voting for Trump. So are you going to vote for one of those 234 people that will have no chance of winning? You also have with Trump 2025, which is going to set up concentration camps for the so-called immigrants. He's also going to extend the Muslim ban, which means a lot less Muslims will be able to come here. The stuff that he has passed that media really doesn't cover, I guess the infrastructure bill, for one, he's been able to get some of the people that had college loans to get some of those things taken away. I know some people are going to say he's been a part of this genocide that's in Palestine, but if my memory serves me right, because I've always loved politics, going all the way back to when I was a baby, every single president, all of them have been in some genocidal mess. Truman with the Korean stuff, also led to Eisenhower. And then Eisenhower also had the Bay of Pigs in Cuba. And then Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon had the Vietnam War. And so if we're worried about the genocide, then you need to worry about all that. And let's bring it even up closer. Afghanistan, that was Bush, Obama, and Biden. And these were all genocidal people. And I'm not saying it's anything wrong or anything right about the genocide going on in Gaza, because it is totally wrong. No war has ever been covered in the media the way this has been covered. But I'm just saying, if you don't elect Biden, in my opinion, and you get this other guy over here with Project 2025 and some of the other dastardly things that I know he wants to do, I think this country is going to be, it's going to fall prey to what I've read in the Quran. Every great empire falls. And I don't know if that's what Allah SWT wants right now with the United States, but we have to, in my opinion, we just have to really be careful.
All right. So you asked me why not, and then you proceeded to tell me about Donald Trump, okay? And this is part of what the problem is with Democrats who are telling you to vote for Biden. I don't want to know about Trump. I only want to know what's good with Biden, okay? My answer would be the first thing that Trump did, I was on in the gym. I was on the machine, on one of the machines looking at the TV. The first thing he did was approve what is the so-called Muslim ban. That was nothing. Right. It was zero. It didn't amount to much of nothing. The biggest thing that I heard from it was Sister Khalilah Ali, who we know was Muhammad Ali's wife, second wife, and his son, Muhammad Ali Jr., were blocked for a period of time to returning to the country, and then they weren't. So that doesn't concern me, the Muslim ban. And I'm a Muslim. That doesn't concern me at all.
Okay.
The other thing that you're telling me about, Project
2025, put out by the Heritage Foundation, which is a very right wing.
Okay, nobody knows. Group. Nobody. That's not going to stop people from voting for Trump because they don't know about it. Okay. Biden is not just a part; he's the one that's underwriting the genocide. And you're telling me that he's just another in the long list of genocidal presidents? That doesn't help him. That's not helping his case with me. When we're looking at, you know, 10,000 children being slaughtered, and he is circumventing Congress to give them more financial aid, which we know that all the money, you know, money bills start in Congress. They have to approve it. And because they're not approving money to go to Ukraine or Israel, then he circumvented them and sent them millions of dollars anyway. So, you know, and that's the other thing, Ukraine. He's taking us toward, he was trying to take us to World War III with Russia, fight the proxy war with Russia in Ukraine, which I didn't support. So, you know, I remember Nina Turner said, you offered me a full bowl of excrement, and she didn't use the word excrement, or
I know
half bowl of excrement. Okay? So, again, your turn.
Well, right now, the Republicans seem to want, and I know you don't like me talking about Trump, but they seem to want to put things in the lexicon of America where it's okay to commit a crime and then still run and be elected for president. I'm very concerned about with the 33,000 people that they have a number on that have been a part of this genocide in Gaza, because that seems to be the thing that's going to make or break Biden. But I just see also some of the things that he has done to help the country. I look at gas prices here in my area, and I live in the hood. They dropped below $3, but in other parts of New Jersey, it's even about 20 cents a gallon cheaper. And I have to say that has something to do with Biden as well. And I mentioned earlier about the infrastructure bill. I see a lot of new things being built, and some of that benefits all of us, not just the African American community, the entire country. And although people like Manchin blocked getting those student loans paid, he's been able to get some of that through as well. And then I agree with you on that. The Congress should take a bigger step in stopping him from just funneling money to the Israelis to commit genocide against the people that lived there, the Palestinians more or less.
Well, I don't really know if they can do anything because he did that as an emergency measure, and he is the commander-in-chief. So, you know, he does have certain powers that he can exercise in that regard. But what that showed me was that this is coming from him. These initiatives are coming from him. And I will say this, I'm not asking you not to talk about Trump. I'm just saying, you know, what the Democrats usually do when you talk about Biden, they automatically pivot to Trump. And I don't want to get to him yet, but what I'll say, I believe that Trump has a lot of this blood on his hands because he is the one that moved directly, and he doesn't need Congress to do it. No president does. He recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel as opposed to Tel Aviv. And no president, Republican or Democrat, no matter how staunch and supportive of Israel, would agree to that. Trump did it, but Biden could have come in office and changed it back. He did not. And so the reason why I blame Trump a lot for what's going on in Gaza is because a big reason which caused the attack on October 7th was the treatment that the Muslims are getting at Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem.
Yeah, yeah.
And so because of Trump's action, believe me, I don't know about other people. I don't need to be convinced of the low moral and intellectual fiber of one Donald Trump.
Well, we're from the same area. So we're from the both from the New York area. So we saw his work firsthand.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I told them at a political meeting that I'm from Queens, and I know a Queens gangster when I see one. Okay, and he has all the earmarks, you know, of a slumlord, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, this is part and parcel of the of the quagmire that we in as a society, that we always are reduced to choosing the lesser of two evils.
This year,
I don't know who's
going to be mayor.
That is indeed true.
We are going to be choosing the lesser of two evils, because in my opinion, not my Democratic opinion, is that this is a mess, unlike we've ever had. And you're right about that money, because that's how Johnson funded Vietnam. With money that he could go around Congress.
Yes, and I don't know if anyone's running the board for us right now, but if so, we can go to a PSA, and don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. All right, it looks like we don't have anyone running the board for us.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year, or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. I am Dafrika Hadi, Director of the Model Community National Resource Directory, with a reminder for you to remember CWSC AM 360 End of the Year National Radio Telethon is here. Yes, on am360.org. Remember, CWSC is up, and our work is serious and a big order to remake the world. Help us to stay strong and diligent at the continued work ahead of us. Make your donation today by calling 910-317-0297. Online, cwsc.us. That's us. Thank you. And together we will remake the world. Assalamu alaikum.
Somebody left, and we're back. All right. So, Brother Jimmy, I'm very happy for you to, lay out your analysis of what's going on. How do you see this presidential race playing out with such, everybody talks about how terrible a candidate Donald Trump is, and not just a candidate, a person. But obviously he can't vote for himself. So there's a lot of people, American citizens who vote, who feel exactly the way he does, and maybe worse. How is he defeated in this political climate that we live in?
The political climate for the Republicans had a major change yesterday. Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, dropped out. Those supporters are going to go to Nikki Haley. And so Trump will now have a little bit of competition.
He doesn't have any supporters, okay? He never really did. I mean, the number of supporters that Chris Christie had was negligible. So, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but go ahead.
I'm just saying. I don't think as many people are going to vote in this election coming up because of Gaza. And
right.
And I've had some. I had a very prominent person and called me up Saturday in reference to Hassan Sharif, but he's also a person that's in the Biden administration, and he told me that one of the third party candidates he's going to vote for. I don't know how many votes Cornel West is going to get, but that's the person he supported, and I've heard several other people are planning on supporting him as well. But if I am to believe the polls that I read, and I've read quite a few, Trump is going to be the victor in November. That's not what I would like.
Yeah.
But the polls, because of Gaza, because you can't constantly sending people over there, but you're not helping the Palestinians. There's something where that's straight out of apartheid and Nazism. How you have a road for the Israelis and a road for the Palestinians? You can barely cross in over the fence or the wall, actually, what is to get from where you live to where your job is in Israel. So, and you already mentioned about Jerusalem. I don't think that's going to hinder Trump. As I said, I don't want him to win, but Biden is going to have to do a masterful act to get people to really vote for him. I'm going to work for him, but he's got to do something to change what's going to happen. I saw one poll where I think Trump gets like 304 Electoral College votes. You need to get 270, and he's going to get them. There's some states that they say he's probably going to lose. Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, and I think it was Arizona as well, are all going to go back to being Republican for this presidential race. What could help Biden is when it's time for voter registration, which is always the time for voter registration, or when you're registered, we need to bring back a way of souls to the poll. And don't forget about what happened in Birmingham. I know some people, they have put the polling places way away from you, but you need to come out and vote. There's three ways. I know in New Jersey, I think it's in all the states, three ways to vote. You can vote early, vote by mail, or vote on election day at the polling site near you. We have to get people to understand that if they want what they want, you've got to get out and vote. And too often in our communities, at African American, we don't vote. Now, you're going to have that as always. But now with the people saying, I'm not going to vote for Biden or I'm not going to vote for Trump, you're going to have a lot more of that. Excuse me.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm your host, engineer host for you this morning. And I wonder if I may ask a question as a dear brother.
Please do.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brother. And forgive me for your name. I'm Martha Nile. Okay, alhamdulillah. I'm calling from Florida, number one. And I know you're going to say you're kidding me. I'm laughing.
I won't visit this day. I might catch COVID.
My question is, you won't catch COVID. I know, and be in Florida, right? But my question is around the local voting time period and how important that is. And do you think we put so much emphasis on the presidential race over the local races or the contesting? Do you think, as I've heard a little breathing about dictatorship, do you think that the Constitution will be I don't know if I should say attacked or charged into amending to bring about dictatorship? Is that even possible?
Let me jump to your first point. Local elections are extremely important. Now, for me, where I live at, everything is up for grabs this year, except our city council. We had our city council race in 2023. But they call them different things in different parts of the country, precinct captains and other places where I live at, they're district leaders. These are people that represent a small area, let's say 500 or 600 people in your particular district. He or she needs to be aware of what's going on. That's the first level of political offices. Then, in some places, you elect your school board. That's another important piece. Then you elect your city council and your mayor. Now, if you don't get the local people to support whomever they want, then you are in deep trouble. You can say everybody talks about the presidency, or they say 2024 is an election year. Every year is an election year because somebody's running for something. And you may have, and you say, well, the dog catcher's running. Well, he or she is probably called animal control officer. And that there's where the corruption can start, because you may have a stray dog or something that's acting up, and people don't want to complain, or the animal control officer gets paid off not to do anything. But every election counts. Then you go to your county commissioners. Then you go to your state level stuff. This is where you have people that can help the national. But if you don't get all the way down to the precinct captain, then you're in trouble. Now, that's going to be my job starting tomorrow, is to get fill-in positions as precinct captains in my ward. And I want to make sure I get people that want to work. And that's another issue. You get people that stay down there too long, and they die in office. We've had several African Americans that did that. So you have to make sure when it's time for a sea change of people, make sure that happens. Even if you have to get this person, well, look, you can't. We don't want you to run anymore. We need somebody young. Give them some kind of little board or commission so they get paid a little, because they may be in financial trouble. So you can help them with that. Now, that getting back to what might be a possibility of a dictatorship, it could be, because Trump tried to do that before. I do notice this. I know he's very masterful with this. I'll give him credit on that. He's able to find all the loopholes in the laws that make up the Constitution of the United States. And I dare say, if he gets back in, he's going to find those loopholes. And he may use that to say stop something or slow something down. He may want to make sure that the affirmative action that Bloom and that group had against the Ivy League schools, they may want to change that. Hopefully, that won't happen, because that would be a sea change. Whereas diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's the main thing they're going to attack. But as I was saying, if they can find these loopholes in the Constitution, they're going to do it, which can lead to a dictatorship.
Okay, and thank you, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. If I may, it's just one other thing, too. What's your thinking on, and this is to both of you, your thinking on finding some measurable process to utilize the usefulness of homeless individuals that want to contribute, and I'm going to say just even to the cleanliness of our neighborhoods, to where it's very devastated with trash being collected there. And I know the city has its part to play, but if as I see across the country in the areas that I've traveled, that and which just trash alone, and we know how that brings about infestation of insects and all of that. What's your thinking about the homeless, a measurable process? Now, not for those who are mentally incapable or whatever, physically incapable, but those who can contribute to the health of the environment.
the best example I have right now is Mayor Roz Baraka of Newark. He is establishing in certain areas some places where people can live, more or less like a campsite, I would call it. He's going to take some of those old where they deliver freight, where they're shipping, and turn some of those into like a small housing for each individual. If they have a place to live, then the necessity of that is important. I agree with you because as I was taking my great granddaughter to school this morning, there's a lady that lives on the street, and I blame the two local towns for not trying to do something to help that lady. So my feeling is what Roz Baraka is doing is a great idea.
Thank you.
But
let me ask you this, Brother Jimmy. I mean, obviously, there's a limit to everything.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be charitable to the strangers, to the wayfarers. But, I mean, the influx of migrants coming across the border, where we've got thousands a week coming into New York City sometimes, several thousand, this is not sustainable. And I know our brother Eric Adams has, you know, continued to designate New York City as a sanctuary city. And I think that the governors of Texas and other states, Florida, are very cynically using this as their reasoning to say, well, you want them, you got them. And then Biden has not responded with the help that Eric Adams has requested. And in fact, because of Adams' criticism of Biden, they really don't have much of a relationship anymore. What are we supposed to do with all these people?
You're absolutely right, ma'am, because I know you can correct me if I'm wrong because you're a New Yorker. Is it true that Adams cut $2 billion from the school board budget in the middle of the school year? That's unheard of.
Well, he attempted to. He was attempting to do a 5% across the board cut on all the city services in order to accommodate, you know, these people. And people are looking at it like, look, I'm not a terrible person. It's not that I don't want to help people, but I have to make a decision as to which people I help first. Now, do I help American citizens? Do I, you know, the Bible and the Quran talks about, you know, charity begins at home,
right,
and then spreads abroad. So, I mean, this is a very, we don't have by either party comprehensive immigration reform. And so even though they're accusing the Biden administration of having open borders, which I don't believe is their official policy, and while it may not be their policy, it certainly is happening. It's like the borders are open, and it happened during Trump as well. So they can't make it into a, you know, they always try to make everything into a partisan thing. It happened during Trump as well. You know, when they complain about Trump putting children in cages, et cetera.
Right.
But it happened during Obama's administration. You know, if you arrest a parent, you have to take the child also.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put the child in a jail cell with the mother and the father, you know. So this is tearing this up, and the Republicans are using this to, with, as we mentioned a little earlier, withhold funding for, these are Biden's wars now, you know, Ukraine, you know, and you know, I don't want to get too deep into the Ukraine situation, but, you know, America is fighting with Russia, a proxy war in Ukraine, which they've lost. It's not a stalemate. Russia won the war, and there was never a chance that Ukraine was going to defeat them. But they just kept giving money and money and money, and I mean, even the one they tell us to hate, Putin, he hasn't been is horrible enough to say he's going to cut off all food, water, and medicine and electricity from the Ukrainian people, as the way Netanyahu has done to the Palestinians. So this is, I know I'm giving you a few, putting a few things on your plate, but how would you respond to it?
What I see is this. One of the things that Abbott has tried, and I think it may happen, he brings the buses up to New Jersey. And some of the, well, I know the one in Edison, he makes sure you turn, get the bus. He don't even let them. They turn right around and go back to Florida. He said he'll pay the people, send them back. You're right. We're building all kinds of luxury houses for people, and that can afford it. And I know they're doing that here. I know they're doing it in New York as well. We need to build some housing so the local people can have a decent place to live.
Exactly.
And I think those buses that are coming to New Jersey every day, somebody's going to cut a deal, and they're going to start staying over here. Because in our urban area, we have a lot of abandoned property. So we can say we'll give you some money to hold them. But eventually, as you said, that's not able to sustain itself. You can't keep bringing these people in. And as quiet as it kept, it's not just people from Central America. I was watching an African news report from a news service called African News, and that's a problem in, I think it was Guinea-Bissau. Some people are, you know, taking a trip, trying to get a trip to Italy or some other places in Europe, but they're finding it easier to save their money and get a boat ride over to Central America and then make their way up to the United States. Because if you see some of the pictures, you see all the people on from Central America. They're from many places, especially from our African continent. I don't think it's sustainable. I'm not saying build projects, but I'm saying build something where people can have a decent place to live. Because I once lived in one of those kind of places where they took this old building, renovated it, and it wasn't a project, but it was a low-rent place where people could afford it, and you could do it like that. If they'd like to say, screen the people, screen your tenants.
Yes, well, a lot of these migrants that are coming in are Muslims, and African Muslims. And, you know, these people are not being vetted. We don't know who the people are that's coming in. But my sister was telling me, because I used to have a store right across from Malcolm Shabazz, Masjid on 116th Street in Harlem. And my sister, she has a store. She's around the corner from me now. She's telling me that the streets by the Masjid are full of African migrants that are homeless. And I was uptown. And I said, let me take a look and see what my sister's talking about. And I was shocked, and she told me that day, and I took pictures, she told me that was a light day. That was a light day. So, I mean, you know, our resources, we have limited resources, and certainly we see that in, like, cities like Chicago, the African-American community is outraged that a lot of the resources are going to these migrants that are coming in, that are not even citizens, while our needs are being unmet. Sister Martha, do we have any other callers?
Yes, you have two callers. Going first to Mark Shahid, 313-314-833, followed by Salal Abdullah, 727-4-8. Mark
Shahid,
and wa alaikum, welcome.
Alaikum as-salam to you, Martha Naila Abdullah, and to you, Imam Yusuf Ramadan, your very distinguished esteemed guest, Brother Jimmy Small. I want to say alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
A very interesting conversation, and thank you, Brother Small, in terms of giving your insight. I want to ask this quick question to you. You speaking about loopholes. I think Colorado have found the loophole. I think that is valid in terms of the charge of insurrection in regards to Donald Trump actually being a viable candidate and being allowed to run. And I think that the significance of that in terms of it being taken all the way to the Supreme Court, and from all that I'm hearing, they're going to move expeditiously on that. And let's say that if, in fact, it's upheld by the Supreme Court, this is going to produce another social dynamic. And I don't claim to be politically astute like yourself and Imam Ramadan, but I'm just looking at this. There could be an internal struggle in this country, and if that's upheld, I could see almost a mini civil war right here in this country. I'm asking you, what's your insight in regards to that? This is not any small potatoes by any stretch of the imagination, that there will be other states that will follow suit if, in fact, this is upheld by the Supreme Court. I'll stop there. Thank you. I'm enjoying this.
My gut feeling says that the Supreme Court is going to side on Trump. And you're right. It may be a mini civil war in this sense. You have a lot of young people, and I'm glad to see they're doing what we African Americans did in the 50s and 60s. They're out there protesting. Now you're going to have another coordinated group that's going to protest them with them. That first group was protesting about the ceasefire, which should happen. But if you're going to say that a person that has a lot of criminal charges against them can run for office based on the 14th Amendment. And what they may rule as that 14th Amendment, I think, is the third section of it. Well, that was only for the people that fought the Civil War, where they couldn't be run for office because they were insurrectionists. That's the tactic they may use. But I'm just saying you have coordinated efforts right now, people protesting, and I think you're right in the sense you're going to have some other people that's going to protest. And they got to make a decision soon because these primaries start with Iowa next week, and then you got New Hampshire right after that, and then South Carolina right after that. Then when you get into March, they have what is called Super Tuesday. And once the Supreme Court rules, that's it. That ruling is for the whole country. So I think it was one other state, Colorado, I don't recall the other state, that don't want him on the ballot. They're going to... If Colorado loses, that other state's going to have to follow suit.
Right. Good question, Bob.
That was
okay,
a good question.
Who's the other caller, sister?
Bilal Abdullah of Hudson, Florida. Assalamu alaikum, Bilal. Your mic is open. Thank you, Mark Shahid.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Imam Ramadan and also you guys have y'all heard about Christian Zionism, and if so, the effect that it would have on the country here and also what's going on in Palestine?
Oh, yeah. Well, President Biden is a Christian Zionist. You know, you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. You just have to support their ideals, you know. And Biden has famously said that he's a Zionist, you know, and we certainly don't have any reason to argue with him because he hadn't done anything to contrary to that. And there's quite a few Christian Zionists because they've been through religion that the Jews are the chosen people, et cetera, and they, through the misinterpretation of it, they feel that, and they cite scripture from their scripture, that they are obligated, even though the Jews of these texts of the scripture is not referring to these modern day people that we see today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I agree with what the man said.
What else?
Yes, we have Muhammad Sharif, 914-434. Assalamu alaikum. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Well, alaykum as-salam. It's my author, the name of Youth of Ramadan, Councilman Dennis Smalls.
Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, sir.
I would like to take us right back to the beginning. That is when our leader came in, Imam Dr. Dean Mohammed. First of all, he brought us a committee system. Remember our committee system, the finance committee, Sikh committee, all those committees. That's the beginning of a community. All governments, city, state, foreign, they have a committee to run the government. This we didn't support you, ma'am, on committee systems. Then we got to the point now where we come up to almost like what Allah said, if one you don't obey, he will bring in another. Now there have been times when sometimes the Muslim community has won, sometimes other communities has won. Allah will take his leadership for those who will not obey. And we haven't obeyed. We didn't obey Imam when he told us, I will have to repeat this again, about the 80% of Islam did not support the leadership. Who did we support? We support that 80% that did not support the Imam. And now we got to the point now where we have that situation now. We're right at the brink of it now. As Allah chooses to punish us for not obeying what we should, because the whole planet knows that we did not obey Imam Muhammad's leadership. The whole earth goes from Germany, France, England, the whole planet knows that we did not support Imam Muhammad's leadership. So maybe time for now to Allah to bring in enough type of what we are afraid of, a dictatorship. So we right at the point now. All we can do is ask for Allah's mercy. Allah's mercy. Let me transfer it over to another people who will obey, since we did not obey. Whole planet knows this.
You're right. And as I said earlier, brother, every great empire, based on what I read in the Quran, is going to fall. Brother Imam, can I just make one quick statement? Because we were talking about a possibility of World War III. This is our African brothers and sisters. The Francophone countries are getting – they had coups, and that had a lot to do with financing due to France. That your young brother, that's the president of Burkina Faso, he raised the price of uranium. And Mali,
yes,
they got rid of French as their national language and changed it to English. And Niger has done a number of other things. So I'm just saying it's very important that we keep our eye on Africa. One thing that's also part of this genocide is the Congo. They have 7.9 million people displaced. They got six-year-old kids mining the cobalt, the ingredient we need in our cell phones and cars. So we got to be cognizant of this, because a lot of that has to do with the Muslim leadership. And Africa in itself, BRICS. They added some countries that this country don't particularly like. So I'm glad to see our brothers and sisters over there trying to find their own way, because after colonialism and before all that stuff, neocolonialism, yes. Because I know this country hates that 34-year-old man that's the president of Burkina Faso. I love him. The people in the country love him. And he's Muslim.
I love him, too. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm just love. All right, Sister Martha, anybody else? We could probably get one other person in.
No one else is on. But when you mentioned that, and we know now, I want to just go into the connection of the waterways that we're hearing about, and from Kenya, what is it, the Hui? Anyway, those that are attacking the ships that are coming through the waterways there. That's
Houthis in Yemen.
Well, they call them the Houthis. They call them the Houthis, but they actually call themselves the Al Ansar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how they disparagingly refer to them as Houthis.
Yeah, and can we see that as protection, a protectionism process that they're I know they're getting the bounty or the booty that's coming through there, but there's a long-range plan, I'm sure, is connected to what, and I have to say, U.S. and Israel is planning in the merchandise or the commercialism of the use of the waterways. What's your...
Well, we only got a couple of minutes. 1 minute, Brother Jimmy, and then we'll be out. Go ahead.
All right. I'd just like to say, people, please get out, register, and vote. Not register to vote. Register and vote. This is going to be a hard-fought election, but please be a part of it. Support some activities that our youth need to be a part of in our various messages. And let's find some ways that we can unify. I'm going to be doing that over here. I don't know if I said it, but with the assassination of Imam Hassan Sharif and seeing that the masjids here in our community, whether they're with W.D. Muhammad and other places, we can take this time and do something in a unified way. Our youth are in a horrible state. Let's try to unify and do some things to help these young brothers and sisters.
Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. I'm sorry to give you such a hard interview. I still love you.
Hey, Brother Man, I still love you too. Maybe I needed to be beat up because so many people agree with me. So I was happy to do this interview.
Alhamdulillah. And we look forward to getting you back in during this political season. So
I'll try my best.
Thank everyone.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. So we thank everyone for listening and calling in. You listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We pray that you have a blessed Juma tomorrow. Stay healthy.
I came down
with a little something myself after attending that janazah, which was a super spreader. I'm feeling a little better. Praise be to Allah. So until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so very much. And everyone, please remember to go to CWSC.us and remember to click on that blue donate button. And at the same time, if you're not registered with CWSC and its efforts, mission, vision of remake the world into a better place, well, the information you heard just this morning, praise be to Almighty God, from Henry Hasid at 7 a.m. with critical issues facing society. And then with Money Sense with Imam Adam Biya, and following that, we just heard from Representative Brother Small, and that was because of our dear Imam Yusuf Ramadan. And now we're going to share with you on a little bar from Humanity of Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. And then we'll go to being
thankful. This is Azhar Abdushakur, now with the Islam's beliefs universal. Allah is the...
I'm God to be strong.
and lend a helping hand along the way. Trying to give friends each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to go to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, "Mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright.
You gotta be alright.
You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference. In any way you can, you gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for themselves. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference. Any way they can, they've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. They gotta be thankful.
Gotta be grateful.
that Almighty God has afforded us, I'm sure we are all thankful. Keep our prayers, keep our hearts open to those, for those who are less fortunate, for our families, and please, by all means, make each day count. Something that we did not do the day before, the moment before, make a difference for the good or for the better. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.